going to have our Bible reading now, and Lynn will read, from where she is. Thanks, Lynn.
The reading is taken from Luke 4, verses 16 to 21. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. He had begun by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Thank you, Lynn. Today, we're going to continue with looking at this passage. And when I was here with you in May, we began to explore and unpack a little bit about this text. And actually, with doing this week and then the following week, I thought it would be nice if we did a continuation, because there's so much treasure within the text that actually one week doesn't really do it justice. So today we're going to kind of continue with the second part. And I'm going to give a brief overview of the first part, because if you're anything like me, I struggle to remember what's happened the week before, never mind several months before. So I'll just do a quick whistle-stop tour with the first session that we did. And we'll have a PowerPoint which goes up. And within the text, Jesus has just returned from being tempted by the devil in the desert. The preceding verses tell us that being filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned to Galilee. And so it marks the beginning of his Galilean ministry. And he began to teach in their synagogues, and he was praised by everybody. And so Jesus, in this passage, he returns to Nazareth. And as most of us know, Nazareth was the place of Jesus' birth. And so he was well known within this particular context, within the synagogue. And often when the Jewish people would congregate to worship within their synagogues, often there was a visiting rabbi, a visiting teacher, or someone who was known to be able to read the scriptures well. And Jesus being known in that context, they would have known him since he was a child, having been brought up there. He was invited to read from either the prophets or the law, so, you know, much of what we have as the Old Testament today. And so he found the part of the scroll which is written from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And he unscrolls it. Of course, they don't have printed press back in that time. So he unscrolls this scroll, and he begins to read from this passage. Now, it's interesting, because the passage that he reads from, it was written about 700 years before this event takes place. And it was written by Isaiah within a context of slavery and oppression. Israel, if we know our church or kind of biblical studies history, Israel had been taken captive by the Babylonians at that point. And so they were living as slaves within the Babylonian land. And Isaiah, he prophesies this ultimate redemption of the coming Messiah, who was going to be this suffering servant, and who's described in the book of Isaiah as a light also to the Gentiles, and so not only the Jewish people, but more broadly the Gentiles. And so Jesus, he gets up in the temple, and he reads from this passage. Now, when I was here in May, we kind of explored the first couple of verses of this. And the first couple of verses, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. This is what Jesus is reading from Isaiah 61. Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, and he sent me to proclaim release to the captives. And so in this passage, Jesus is reading, the Spirit of God is given for a purpose. And the first purpose is to bring good news to the poor. And so this sense of bringing God's message of salvation with authority and power. And it's also kind of mentioning the poor. And who are the poor? In the book of Luke, which this chapter is taken from, the poor are very much mentioned within the book. And obviously it can be people of an economic condition, so people who don't have much money or resources. But there's also a sense of people who are poor, who don't have a sense of, who have a sense of God's need and help in their lives. And so in Matthew 6, verse 2, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so we've got this sense of actually in Scripture, God caring for the poor, the marginalized, and the widow. And so last time we kind of explored how at 57 West, there's a sense of us working very much with the economically poor. But then equally, there's a sense of I'm also realizing a need for God within my own life. So it's not a case of me doing ministry to the poor people in Southend. It's actually a sense of us journeying together as a community and us all being aware together of our spiritual need and our hunger for God. And actually, they are able to help me in my poverty as well. And so since we met, just to give you a brief update, we celebrated our third birthday at 57 West. So we're kind of doing three. We're not doing a peace sign. We've got three for 3 years anniversary. And it gave us an opportunity to reflect on what we were doing. So yes, we've been working with people who are very much on the streets in Southend. But we're also getting a lot of people who are in accommodation, but in maybe quite low-income accommodation, and people who are needing a sense of community and who just enjoy coming to the community cafe that opens up during the week for cups of tea and coffee. And people just love hanging out and being together and this sense of community. And actually, we were able to figure out the statistics. I'm a bit of a statistic geek. I love numbers, trying to figure out what I'm doing. And in 2016, we had 6,500 visits to 57 West, which is about 2,000 more visits than the year before. And actually, it's made us think that if we're growing at this rate, we only have this small space where we get maybe 20 people in comfortably at a time. We have been known to get 50 in, but it's very much like a can of sardines. But we need, to have more space. And so we began praying and saying to God, God, we really needing to be able to transition and to have space that enables us to be better at what we do in terms of caring for people. And sometimes when you're in a really confined space, it's a bit like a pressure cooker. I don't know if you've ever had a really traumatic car journey with lots of screaming children. It can sometimes feel a little bit like that kind of scenario with just like voices and, people kind of, getting more and more excitable within the community. So actually this sense of need for a bigger space. And we did a couple of funding applications, and one was to the Church Growth Trust. And we were so encouraged to hear that they had given us £35,000 to be able to renovate a new premises so that we could expand. And so we've been able to talk with a local church in the centre of Southend, Clarence Road Baptist Church, and we're going to be renting from them half of their building. And I'll bring you a photo next week. But it just means we'll have like triple the space. And so at the moment, we've got a builder in there. I've been painting ceilings this week and installing light fittings. It's all been going on. So do pray for us that we'll have strength and energy to be able to do it and that our youth will be renewed like the eagle's wings. So that's all been really encouraging. And just this sense of, what is good news for the poor within that context? And this sense of actually it's about community. It's about people being invited into Christian community, into relationship with each other, and also knowing God. And so when I was here in May, we were kind of exploring, well, what does that mean, not only for 57 West, but what does it also mean for the church here in Southwood and Ferrers? And then we kind of moved on to the next part of the passage, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim release to the captives." And there's this sense of him almost saying, he is here to bring freedom, release, and deliverance. And one of the exciting things that has happened just recently was that in June, we had a baptism. And the baptism was of a guy called Mick, who's been coming to 57 West maybe for the last 3 years or so. And he lives on the street, has been on the street for years and years. But he's had a very strong faith during that time. And he'd never been baptized. And he said to us one day, he said, "You know, I really feel like now is the right time for me to be baptized. But I'm worried because, you know, not everything is sorted in my life." And I said to him, "Well, not, you know, not everything's sorted in my life either. You know, we're all on a journey." And actually this sense of, you know, baptism, it marks the start of a journey of following Jesus. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means actually we're realizing we're not perfect, and it's the start of this journey and this adventure to follow Jesus. And so you can see us kind of walking out to be baptized. The tide wasn't quite in, which meant we had to walk quite a long way. But there was a reason for us doing it then. We did check the tide times. But anyway, he was fully immersed for the staunch Baptist, you'll be pleased to know. So fully immersed. And this is us praying for him at the end. And it was just a lovely day where the community could join together and actually hear some of his story and how his faith is an encouragement to us. Just what a privilege that is. And so this sense of actually Jesus came to bring good news to the poor. He came to bring freedom to the captives. And baptism is such a beautiful illustration of both of those things. This sense of actually this is good news, and we are, you know, when we're immersed in the water, we identify with Christ in his death, and then we come up out of the water, hopefully, and then we are resurrected into this new life in Christ as well. And so today I'd love us to focus on the next part of the passage. So we touched briefly on recovery of sight to the blind. And I mentioned about how blindness and spiritual growth, it's an ongoing journey for all of us, in that when we become Christians, it's not like we suddenly have the whole and complete truth. Yes, we do have, you know, a good glimpse of that truth, but actually we are being discipled and we are being transformed into Christ's likeness. And actually for me, being part of 57, I have been transformed through that process. And, you know, the guys who I work with, God speaks to me through them. And this sense of it's not me doing ministry to them. It's a sense of actually we are all journeying together. And actually all of us are increasingly becoming aware of perhaps more of God's purpose for our lives, as well as understanding what he's wanting to do in Southend. And so there's this sense of actually our eyes are continually being opened. And I'm sure many of us have had experiences of reading the Bible, or, you know, when we've encountered other people through conversations or experiences, it's suddenly like a little light bulb moment, and a little bit more of God's revelation kind of switches on. And so there's this sense of us journeying together and me learning from them. And just to add, sometimes when I speak at places, people kind of ask me about the theology and the more rootedness of 57 West. Is it really a church? You know, occasionally you get asked the question. And just to kind of throw out a resource in passing, we've recently written a very short booklet which talks about the theology of 57 West. And we don't make a profit from this, but there are copies available over there. It's a resource offered to churches and to ministers. So if you'd like it, they're just at the table on the back, the £5 a copy. But let's continue. And the next part of the passage is this sense of Jesus saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to let the oppressed go free." And we're going to focus on this one line today. And it literally means, if you look at the Greek which it was written in, it means to send out with a commission or a purpose. And so there's this sense of, literally it means to send the sickle or to begin a harvest. Now, maybe those of us who aren't agriculturalists aren't too aware of sickles. I'm certainly not. But there's this sense of the sickle is the instrument the farmer uses to cut down the grain. And there's almost this kind of sense of God's Spirit sending people out with a purpose to bring in the harvest, to cut the grain. And actually, when we think about Jesus' mission on earth, this is what he was doing. He was bringing people into the kingdom of God. And this is what the good news is. But it's quite an active verse. It's saying to let the oppressed go free. But it's more than just freedom. It's actually freedom for a purpose. And this sense of being commissioned out. But it's interesting that he uses the word oppressed within this passage. So when we look at the original language, it means those people or those of us who are broken in pieces, as pottery is. So the oppressed, letting them go free for a purpose, it's sending out broken people, which I absolutely love, because there's this sense of it's not sending out perfect people. It's not sending out people who are all sorted. It's not sending out people who have reached the pinnacle of spiritual success. Actually, it's sending out, God's Spirit is to send out people who are broken, or literally those who are downtrodden or overwhelmed with trouble. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul, he writes about treasure in jars of clay. And he says that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. So there's this picture of these fragile jars of clay. And actually, there's this treasure which is in them. And for the church, there's this sense of, you know, God has breathed his treasure within the church. We've been invited into this community of believers to be sons and daughters of God. And yet, actually, who we are is often very fragile. And it can feel like sometimes through the circumstances of life that we've almost been dropped on the floor. And just recently, I've had several plates like smash on the floor, and I think I'm getting clumsier with age. But there's almost this sense of, you know, feeling like life has almost dropped us and we're lying shattered on the floor. And yet, God is a God who uses broken people. When we read scripture, throughout the history of the Bible, you know, you read about the characters in the Bible, and they are all fragile, often very broken people who God uses to bring about his purposes on earth. In Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, "O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay. You are the potter, and we are all the work of your hands." And so there's this sense of actually God forming us and recreating us and transforming us more into his likeness. And so I want to encourage us today, because God hasn't finished with any one of us yet. There's this sense of he's still molding us You know, we might have sharp edges on us. We might have little holes in places. It might feel like we're lying in several places. And yet God is a God who brings his life and his healing to us as well. In Japan, it's interesting that with shattered china, they often have very ornate china. And when it's broken on the floor, what they do is they will pick up all the pieces, and then they will, instead of using glue, they'll use gold to kind of hold everything back together. And actually what you end up with is a more beautiful object than actually what you started with, because you've got all these lines and cracks kind of held together with gold. And actually it just shows that, you know, there's beauty in brokenness, and there's beauty within imperfection. And just thinking about this passage, you know, God sends out broken people with a purpose. He doesn't wait for us to get to a certain point or perfection or spirituality. You know, God, he sends each of us out. And sometimes I think it's a good thing that we're not perfect, because we'd all be so arrogant about what we'd be doing and the achievements we'd been making. And you know, if you sat down with me for a cup of tea, you know, I can probably give you a list of how not to plant a church in Southend, all the bloopers and mistakes, like the cutout reel that you don't show in the main video. You get all the bloopers at the end. You know, there's this sense of actually God uses our imperfections and the brokenness of our lives and our community as well to bring about a sense of glory for him. And I think we're trying to figure that out at 57 and who we're working with, because a lot of the people who we work with will have very chaotic lives, and yet there's this invitation immediately for them to join in God's mission. You know, they don't need to go through a whole, you know, 12-year discipleship program before we give them any responsibility. Actually, immediately they want to participate. There's this sense of us joining together in what God is doing. And I'm going to show just a two-minute video clip, which will kind of give some voices to those whom we're working with, and it might also kind of give a story of how they're also being used by God. Okay. I'll maybe continue just while it's getting going, and I'll stop if it comes on. So, for example,
I was quite weary at first, but it's made me look at the church quite differently, and I've learnt a lot through the Saturday services. I've had quite a lot of questions and doubts answered, and thoughts put to right. But it's a choice. You're not forced into it, not pressured into it. It's up to you if you want to take up that side of it.
Started helping out with the pamper evenings and doing the cooking for Saturday church for us to have our community meal, just fundraising and really raising the awareness of 57 and letting the other rough sleepers know. Hadn't really got involved with anything to do with church for at least 25 years, but coming to 57 West, I started going to their Bible study and really sort of began my walk again with God and understanding the Bible and understanding God's love for me, really.
I was baptised into 57 West, which is part of the Baptist ministry, in June last year.
I've seen other people's lives being changed, gone from being homeless to being housed. The friendships that are made are true, they're real, they're loyal, and I get to give a bit back because I get to come and help out with the meal when they feeding the rough sleepers and everything, and it's a nice feeling.
Well, 57 to me is, you know, it means hope, faith, friendship to me, and it's 57 to me has changed my life through just meeting people, through just being around the right people and coming out and feeling a sense of warmth when I walk out. It's just the most amazing place.
So it's So it kind of it gives a bit of an illustration of you know, participation and actually you know, people are invited to get involved very much from the start of what their involvement is. So whether it's cooking meals for the community, and I love that, you know, that people have been sleeping on the street and then they get back into accommodation and they're able to, you know, have stability, and then they're able to cook a meal for 40 people, you know, to give back. And then there's other people on the street who are able to help out and serve. And, you know, it's just this sense of actually God uses all of us, and it's sometimes the unexpected people and the people that are willing to step out and take a risk. God uses the available people, usually, rather than those who are super gifted. So there's this sense of an invitation today. You know, even if we're feeling downtrodden or overwhelmed with trouble, you know, let's be encouraged, because God, he sends out the broken people with a purpose to do what he wants to do. And so we're kind of going to draw this to a close today. Jesus, he continued with another verse, which was about proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour. And we're going to look at that next week. But actually, he rolls up the scroll at the end of it. He gives it back to the attendant and sits down. And he says to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And so Jesus, thinking back to this prophet, Isaiah, who prophesies the coming Redeemer, the coming Messiah, Jesus is pretty much saying to the people that he knows in that context, actually today this is happening. He is the one who was being prophesied about 700 years ago. And the exciting thing is that if we are Christians, if we are following Jesus, then we are invited into that mission as well, to bring freedom to the captives, to bring good news to the poor, to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Isn't that exciting? You know, there's an opportunity here for us to step out, for us to perhaps do things that we haven't done before. And sometimes, you know, when I started at 57, there was almost a pressure to succeed immediately. And let me tell you, we just tried so many things and almost everything failed at the beginning. And actually there was a sense of us almost coming to the end of ourselves and feeling broken and feeling knackered and tired and exhausted and just saying, "God, either you do something here or we don't know how long we can do this for." And that's when he started bringing the people who we work with now to us. And so actually it is God's spirit, you know, it's him. It's when we step out and we're willing to take risks, we're willing to make mistakes and just say, "Okay, that wasn't, you know, it didn't work, that's fine, let's move on to the next thing." You know, it gives us permission to kind of explore where God's spirit is leading and working. And let's be encouraged, because actually God doesn't use perfect people, which is a relief to me at least, if not all of us here as well.